There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Come for Supper. I'm Alexandra Dudley, food writer, cook, and serial dinner party host. So I thought it'd be fun to sit down with people who share that love for food, chat about life, and learn a little bit more about how they like to serve supper. I speak to chefs, restaurateurs, artists, actors, authors, and pretty much anyone who likes to entertain. If you're new to the podcast, make sure you click subscribe. And if you enjoy it, rate it, review it, share it, and tell your friends, as it makes all the difference. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Joining me in the studio today is a chef, author, and cookery teacher. Having trained as a pastry chef and worked in establishments such as the Lanesborough, she went on to run her own pop-ups, including an incredibly successful year-long residency. Today, she is head chef at London's recently opened Stony Street in Borough Market. She has authored two books, Hen's Clean Cakes and The Natural Baker, and is an expert when it comes to cooking with British whole grains. Her recipes have been featured in the likes of The Telegraph, The Evening Standard, The Guardian, and Vogue, and everything I have ever tried that she has cooked has been utterly delicious. Welcome to Come for Supper, Henrietta Inman.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming and for bringing sweet brownies, which I might be sharing. So where have you come from this afternoon? I know you're very busy.
I've come from work.
So work, Stony Street.
Yes.
So what's kind of on the menu there at the moment?
I made the very wise decision to change the whole menu after Christmas. So we got back in the kitchen on Thursday and quite a lot of recipe development and things. We've got some really delicious porridges, obviously, because it's 26 grains. So a really good 6-grain one with spelt rye, barley, wheat. I always forget one
spelt
or two.
Rye, barley, wheat.
Quinoa and oats, obviously.
And oats, okay.
And a sort of apple compote, almond butter.
Oh, delicious.
Quinoa and apple, crunchy crumble thing. And it's vegan because of
veganuary.
And just happens to be vegan as well, really.
Yeah, nice.
And a lovely turmeric one with orange curd.
Oh,
yeah. And then we've got some really delicious chalk stream trout. Do you know that?
Delicious.
So good with our soda bread. Fen Farm butter and Claytonia, which is sort of winter purslane.
Ooh, delicious.
Lovely.
Yeah, my mouth is actually
watering. You can have scrambled eggs with it if you want as well.
Ooh,
so loads
very
of things.
Nice.
And lots of different things on the dinner menu and lunch as well.
Yum.
So it's exciting.
How long has it been open? It's a couple of months now.
Just a bit over. When we stopped for Christmas, it was 4 weeks. So
oh, wow. Wow, gosh, it's still so young, isn't it?
Yes.
I've been once. I can't wait to go again. It's so delicious. So let's start at the beginning. Very good place to start. I'm not going to start singing. I feel like you'd like that.
Yeah.
Can you perhaps tell us what it was that led you into a life of food? Let's go right back to kind of early days.
Okay. I think lots of reasons. I grew up in Suffolk and My parents grew up in London, actually. My mother in Wimbledon, my father in Putney. Then moved there when my sister was about one. So I was not existing then. So lived there all my life, was born there. And then my mother immediately started a vegetable garden and things. So I grew up with that and sort of always, therefore always being aware of what's in season and how delicious fresh produce is. And my parents both love cooking, so I think just it's sort of
ingrained.
Yeah, and just always loved food. I was always the one at school who made the sort of birthday cakes and things for friends and
nice
things. But then never thought, was also a real geek. I think I still am a bit at school, and loved languages. So I went to university and did French and Italian first, but always thinking maybe I wanted to do something with food, maybe food historian or something like
that's
that.
That's cool. Food but, historian. There's still time.
Yeah. I think they're so interesting, everything they write about so many things. But, because I was thinking long, more of a sort of journalist or something, because I never thought I could survive in what we think is a crazy sort of manic
industry
kitchen, and professional kitchens. So, but then whilst at university, I realised I didn't want to be definitely not an academic or a translator or anything really to do with the languages I was studying. But I had this year abroad, in half a year in Bologna and half a year in Avignon.
Oh, wow.
And just realised then how much I really love food and wanted to be more hands-on with it. I think I am quite creative.
You're definitely quite creative.
Also loved art at school. Mm-hmm. And I think loved, obviously, the eating, the flavours, but also the presentation of everything. Mm-hmm. And particularly with sweet stuff. I always thought you could be, put pretty flowers all over everything and make it really beautiful. So then I, after having, this year abroad and gazing into beautiful patisseries and pasticcere in Italy, I decided to do something called the Professional Patisserie Scholarship at Westminster Kingsway College. My brother and my father actually found it. They were so...
Wow. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? Sounds
really
like a little storybook as well.
Yeah. No, it was... I was really lucky because then I was an apprentice at the Lanesborough Hotel.
Which is incredible. You were quite young then as well.
I guess I'm still quite young. I guess 21.
Yeah. I mean, quite daunting, I think, to be in a kitchen of that level.
Yeah, I was really frightened. And they're all sort of, who's this sort of country girl come to work? They're all sort of Londoners, or so many people from all over in kitchens, which is great. I think there was a Hungarian, my boss was from Israel, a Bayesian, Barbados, mm-hmm. Irish guy. Anyway, so that was great. I loved it. And I really loved, because I'm such a perfectionist, which is sometimes, my dad has a really good phrase for it, I can't remember, but not a good thing being a perfectionist, but I think the sort of rigour and the precision and everything about that to do with patisserie, I really liked that, and the creativity. And then there used to be an Italian restaurant there as well at the Lanesborough, so I moved from the hotel pastry kitchen doing afternoon tea and sort of 500 scones every day for that and room service and things like that to the restaurant, so doing more service and working for some crazy Italians and sort of morning to sort of midnight, really, really long hours. But I really enjoyed it. We had a really good team, so it was mm-hmm. great. You'd become a sort of family. And then carried on in kitchens for about 3 more years, so 5 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Was there much kind of, any like plate throwing and knife throwing.
Yeah, one of my...
I feel like it's, kitchens have changed from then. Like,
I think
things
so.
Don't go down like that.
No, definitely not. There was sort of, I don't know if I can say this publicly, but no, there was ingredients sort of stealing because...
Really?
My Italian head chef, he used up all our food costs on sort of Spanish suckling pig and 500-year-old balsamic vinegar and things. So it would leave us no money, no sort of food budget for what we needed in the pastry kitchen. So we had to...
Be frugal.
Yeah.
Oh.
And take it from the kitchen next door and things like
that. Do I love it? Like school.
And there was knife throwing as well. The sommelier once used the bread knife to cut a lemon and it was then thrown at
him. For doing it wrong.
Yes.
Gosh, I bet you've got lots of stories. And what about when you were in, because I know that Italy, that time when you were in Italy and France was a big changing point for you in kind of career and deciding what you wanted to do. Was there a kind of particular food memory or moment that kind of has stuck with you from that time?
I think Italy, because I'd been to France quite a lot. I'd done French at high school and then mm-hmm. I started Italian from scratch at university. And I'd only been to Italy sort of once, but loved it. And I think it was because I was thinking about doing it, and my parents thought, if you're going to study it, let's go for a, sort of a few nights.
Sensible parents.
Yeah, really kind of them. So we went to Florence, and I think I had sort of fresh pasta for the first time and thought, I want to do this, and just loved, I loved the art and the Renaissance and everything like that. And then there was another time when I was there on my year abroad from university, really beautiful, in Bologna, all the cafes and the sort of aperitivo, and but also in the morning, the, you know, cappuccino and your lovely pastry or something, and beautiful pastry shops. That really made me think, that definitely made me think more about doing, specialising in patisserie, and there was one, we were going, my parents came out for my 21st birthday and took me up to the Apennines to go walking, and we stopped at sort of a, it was basically like a petrol station with a little cafe next door, and these two sort of non-native Italian grannies cooked, were in the kitchen, there were about five tables or something, and the most, they cooked the most amazing fresh pasta with ricotta, fresh sage, just so, but so simple, and just with butter, burro e salvia, butter and sage, and it was just the best thing ever.
Heaven.
And I think that made me really,
that was it. Good things, good ingredients.
Good ingredients.
I know that ingredients are incredibly important to what you do, and I guess Stony Street is kind of a reflection of your style of cooking and your way of using ingredients. Can you talk a little bit more about the kind of way that you cook? Because it is, it's very different to kind of probably what you were doing in the Lanesborough, I can imagine.
Yeah, I think I loved that and all the techniques and everything I learned, but I think I really missed the sort of knowing where all the ingredients were coming from. I didn't really think about it then at all. But then when I sort of stopped and was able to think a bit more and moved back home for a bit, I thought I really wanted to apply the skills I'd learnt to the ingredients that were closer to me and around me. So making that really delicious sponge cake or pastry or something, but with whole grain flour from down the road and things like that. Just basically because they taste better.
They taste better. I was going to ask why is it important? Because they taste
better. But also the environment. Yeah. And that's, I think, more and more really especially important. I think I don't want to buy... The other day, one of our suppliers, they... I'm not sure quite what happened, but they ran out of... They have tunnels where they grow their herbs. And I think, I don't know, maybe after Christmas or something, they had less. And just... So I ordered oregano and things like that, thinking, oh, it's great they've got oregano at this time of year. But I knew they had...
polytunnels.
Yeah. So and they turned up and the packet said Kenya or something.
Oh, no.
And you just don't want to see that anymore. So that's... And, I think flavour...
Close to home.
Close to home. And I think it makes... Sort of makes the dish, as well as taste better, it's sort of... It's got more substance. It's not just food for food's sake, but it's got a bit more meaning and therefore sort of makes it taste even better. If you
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the story and the kind of journey and the life that food has had does affect it.
Yeah.
Just like with an animal, they say that if an animal, you know, has had a happy life, then it will taste better, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it directly applies to a herb, but I'm sure that herbs from your garden definitely taste better than when they've kind of come from Peru or something.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's chat about entertaining. Do you like to entertain?
I love it, but I often get a bit stressed
out.
I'm just so worried about everyone having a good time that I end up sort of staying in the kitchen and...
Hiding in the kitchen, classic move.
A little bit, or just, thinking, have they got everything they need? Do I need to get them a drink? And then everyone leaves and I just suddenly think, oh, I didn't speak to anyone because I was so sort of... But I know I'm getting better at that.
That's good. I mean,
but yeah, I do love it.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a great host, I think. So what do we get when we come for supper at your house? Let's imagine you have all the time in the world as well. So there's no stress. There's no kind of deadlines. The restaurant's just kind of running on autopilot for a week. Maybe you've got, maybe not the queen, but you've got someone really special coming over for supper, maybe kind of three people, so it's very manageable, and you want to kind of pull out all the stops. What are you going to cook?
Okay. I think, ideally, I'd be back at home in Suffolk.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And maybe it's summer and I can pick loads of really delicious things like lovely carrots and courgettes and runner beans and French beans and things like that from the garden. So maybe I love, and I just love all the colourful parts about them especially. So maybe just for starters, loads of things, just loads of, I hate the word crudités.
I love the word crudités, but crudités.
Lots and lots of crudités and dippy things like banya cowder and...
Oh, what's maybe, that?
That's a sort of, it's an anchovy and garlic.
Ooh, basically, delicious.
Yeah.
Is it Venetian or Italian? Yes.
It's Italian, yeah. It might be Venetian, actually.
Okay.
I think. And maybe other dips like... You know hodmedods?
Yeah, I love hodmedods, the British pulses for anybody listening.
Maybe some of their pulses whizzed up with pureed beetroot or something.
Yummy.
A pink one. And maybe some fresh soda bread or something like that. And then I think, I love just roast chicken.
Mm-hmm, something simple.
I think something, tarragon chicken in the summer is so good.
Yeah.
Maybe just some new potatoes or roast potatoes and a big green salad.
Delicious, lots of colour.
Yes.
And what about pudding? Because I know that you would serve pudding. You would never not serve
pudding.
Just
do a tart.
Do a tart.
A massive fruit tart.
Yum.
I love, and rhubarb, there's forced rhubarb around now, but then garden rhubarb comes
so
in.
So delicious.
Which I sort of prefer. I think it's got...
Like more bite to it.
Much more bite and, more substance. I love forced because it's pink and I love pink, but it's a bit it's a bit watery.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love it. So maybe a rhubarb and strawberry tart.
Delicious.
I
Yum.
Think, and fresh custard.
Fresh custard, just naturally, casually.
I love making custard.
I think lots of people shy away from making pudding or kind of dessert because they just feel like they don't have the confidence to do it. Do you have any tips for a kind of novice cook on, you know, something, either a recipe or a kind of pudding hack that doesn't send them into kind of despair?
I think, first of all, not worrying about it because that's sort of the worst thing because you're already a bit sort of flustered and then things are probably bound to go wrong, so I don't know why people
don't panic,
enjoy it. Maybe just, I think, just a simple I think shortbread is so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, and the sort of, or even a crumble if you suddenly,
people love a crumble actually, don't they? And that's really easy.
Yeah, you don't need to roll out the dough. Mm-hmm. You just crumble it up and put it in the oven.
I think pastry panics people.
Yeah. So maybe a crumble. And a really good rule to always remember is 3-2-1. So 3 flour, like 300 grams flour, 2 butter, so 200 grams flour, 1 sugar, 100 grams. So
I never knew that.
Always that ratio.
That's great. I normally just chuck it all in and kind of hope for the best. normally
sure
it's fine.
Yeah.
I did actually have the other day where I forgot to put the fat, and I was actually making an olive oil crumble, but I forgot to put the olive oil on. And I was like, gosh, it's really dry. What have I done? And then I realised I hadn't put it in there, so I had to kind of scrape the whole thing off. Don't forget the butter or the olive oil, whatever you're doing. What about pet hates? Anything you can't stand? Like, it could be guests that come, or it could be things, you know, that people do when you go to someone's house for supper, or kind of table manners, anything. Anything at the table.
I hate it when, if I've still got, like, I love wine, but I like to drink it slowly and sort of think
Enjoy
about it.
It
a bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it when people clear my glass before I've finished it. Even if there's I love that tiny bit in the bottom, I sort of look forward to it.
That's annoying.
Same with plates.
There's nothing worse than that, especially in a restaurant.
Tasty, yeah.
And they kind of take it away and you're still chewing.
Yeah. Or if I get quite upset when the sort of starter and main course are quite, you know, fine, delicious, and then people just slightly give up on pudding.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think lots of people, mean going out, or do you mean going to someone's house or going to a restaurant?
Going out a bit.
Yeah, I find that, you mean when it's kind of creamy thing, like a panna cotta is fine, but when it's kind of a cream, that's it. That's
or just
the
a bit of an afterthought.
Yeah, I complain about that quite a lot, whether it's just kind of a creamy thing.
But it could
like
be
a
But I think a posset could be quite good. But even like if you did do the shortbread, just that with lovely fresh fruit or stewed fruit and some cream would be so good.
You do that thing, don't you? Because I've definitely stolen this from you, where you kind of whip cream with yogurt, so it's kind of lighter. Yeah. That's a Henrietta Inman trick.
I mean, I'm sure loads of other people have done
really.
That.
You were the first person I ever saw to do that, and I think it's brilliant. It just looks so beautiful. It's very cloud-like and kind of.
Yeah. And it's all, yeah, you're sort of less likely to over whip it.
Yeah, and it's lighter as well. It is lighter, I guess, because it's half yogurt, half cream.
Yeah. And a bit less heavy.
Yeah. So if I were coming for dinner and I could bring you a gift, anything, what would you like as a host? What's your ideal kind of dinner party guest gift?
I love flowers.
Flowers?
Fresh flowers. Is that very... I was going
to
say...
No.
Then I was going to say chocolate.
Some people... So flowers
like
and chocolate.
Typical woman.
Some people don't like being given flowers because it stresses them out, because then they feel the pressure to go and put them in water.
Oh, I love...
You
I
love
always...
It.
I love... If
You've
I
got vases at the ready.
Yeah. If I'm at home, my favourite thing is to pick like a little posy and take
that's,
it.
That's so lovely. Friends. Yeah. So that's very manageable though, isn't it? Not like the kind of huge bouquet.
What my mother has taught me, how nice it is if you actually put it...
In some water.
In a little, an old jam jar.
Oh, that's so nice. And then there's no stress and it looks nice.
Yes.
Oh, it's like perfect for the kind of loo or something.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, noted. That or chocolate. How do you feel about stuffed olives? Bit of a random one. No, yeah, I thought so.
I sort of love them, but since opening Stony Street, as well as working with loads of British suppliers, mm-hmm. We've been really trying to support as many as it's feasibly possible to support the suppliers in the market.
In Barrow Market?
Yeah.
That's lovely.
So we work with... Our olives are from... a shop called Olivology,
mm-hmm.
and it's run by a Greek woman, and she knows every single producer she works with in Greece.
Great.
And she was, when she talked about stuffed olives, she was just...
No.
It's sort of... And the thing is...
Pitted olives, actually.
Even pitted, because the...
They're just not olives.
Yeah. The stone keeps them fresher and better. So
no stuffed olives.
No.
But I do like a good olive.
I do like a good
mozzarella olive.
I love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sort of lived on them in Bologna.
Did you?
Yeah.
They're so good, aren't they? There's like something meaty about them. Okay, good. I'm glad we agree on the stuffed olive front. That's good. What about memorable dinner parties or kind of even meals that you've had or experienced? Do you have any kind of top memories up there?
Definitely the pasta in the Apennines. And then I actually just remembered one. It's on the subject of pink. I think I had a pink party for my...
Did you? I love that.
I did. I just remembered it. And everyone wore pink. And the food was all pink. And my mother made... I think it was a... Might have been Nigella. Or I think we've got a pot... a book, not a pot. It's called Just One Pot by Lindsay Barham. Her name is. Who's a really good food writer. And she has a pink... chicken curry in it. So I can't remember what
Isn't there a name for that? I think it's a teak or something, isn't it?
I think it's got beetroot in it.
Okay.
So that's what made it pink.
Cool.
And normally our kitchen at home, there's sort of family, quite small table where we just, if it's just us, but when we have more people, there's another long table. And if there's lots of people, we join the two tables together and have it all the way down the kitchen.
Nice.
And I had lots of friends from school. And we were wearing pink. And it was really fun.
Eating pink food. All pink food. You're wearing pink today as well.
Sort of.
And you do like pink.
I do. I feel like that's... I also had an S party, so everyone dressed up as an S. Something to begin with S.
Why an S? Oh, okay. Any reason why the letter S?
I think it was a sort of thing then. It was quite a cool thing to do.
Wasn't like S Club 7 era, was it?
Probably.
Maybe. Did anyone come as S Club 7?
No.
I don't know what I would have come as. Probably a snake, really original there or something.
No, but party food was always really good at our house.
I can imagine.
I remember good party food.
Would you cook with your mum when you were young then? Or be involved?
Quite a lot.
Quite hands-on?
Yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So when it comes to ancient grains and kind of traditional ground flours, you definitely are the expert. I think they can be quite tricky to find, but actually trickier to use sometimes, or people don't know quite how to use them because they're becoming easier and easier to find. Do you have any kind of tips on kind of using, I don't know, what are einkorn and buckwheat and spelt and stuff? And is it like kind of a way, is there a way to kind of work with them that's different to kind of conventional white flour?
Yeah, it's still the same plant. So just because it's white and then you've got whole grain, it's actually quite easy to manage. It's not that different. White is obviously a much, like white pasta and white bread, it's obviously much finer, but also like an easier canvas to then put on flavours and things. So you sort of have to think about that a bit, I guess, because you're going to get a much stronger flavour when you're using a whole grain.
Yeah.
And all of like einkorn and buckwheat has quite a strong flavour.
Yeah, buckwheat has a very strong flavour. I struggle with buckwheat unless it's very chocolatey. I find it quite difficult.
Yeah. I don't actually notice it.
The grouts. So, grouts, is that who's it?
Groats. Yeah.
Buckwheat groats, I think, are nice in kind of granola or anything, even kind of salads, crunchy. But the flour, I find, I can't
it's
really stomach it.
So, really? You don't really
the flour, I just, unless it's very chocolatey.
Yeah.
It's so overpowering, I feel. Needs, in something kind of vanilla-y, I think it needs something something more.
It's also, that's one, it's gluten-free as well, so it's hard in, if you're trying to make a biscuit or something with it, it'll just collapse. But yeah, I think experimenting, and sometimes to start with, I maybe, instead of substituting all of the plain white flour for completely whole grain, do sort of one-to-one.
Okay.
And you'll see, or half and half.
Mix them.
Yeah, okay. But actually they're not that different. They're just far more flavoursome and better for you.
Einkorn is so delicious. I love einkorn. And really, spelt flour. Really, I always bake with spelt flour. I feel like spelt's pretty easy to
use.
I
love spelt.
And you can get white spelt flour as well, and you can get whole grain spelt.
Yeah.
Any other golden nuggets? I know presentation is really important for you, and I think people care more and more about what their food looks like. Do you have any kind of tips for making a plate of food kind of look nice?
I think lots of... always having colour. I know people like beige food at the moment. This is sort of beige food thing.
But, beige clothes are in too. I feel like beige is in. Beige and brown is in right now.
Yeah, I can't... I just love colours. So always having a fresh... like if... well, in the moment at the menu, we've got a beetroot and London fettle, which is very similar to feta.
What? Yeah, I've seen it a lot, London fettle. What is that? It's just feta that's made in London.
Yeah, okay. It's made by a Greek family, and they moved to London. They make it in Enfield. They're called Kupros Dairy. So they make that.
They sell it in my deli.
Do they?
Local deli, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have it in E5 as well. And they make one similar to halloumi as well, called Anglum.
Okay, cool.
And it's really delicious. So we have that tart, but then if it was just served the tart, it would be a bit
beige,
sad, and a bit beige, a little bit. So thinking of maybe a really lovely fresh salad, or so we've got it with a radicchio and orange and date and carrot salad,
delicious,
with a lovely sort of thymy orangey dressing. So that really lifts it up. And then also thinking about if it is a bit beige or brown, like we've got a venison stew as well, maybe always finishing with a bit of some herbs or something like that.
I know you like edible flowers as well, don't you?
Yeah.
But do you grow edible flowers? I feel like I read that you grow edible flowers.
I do. I haven't got a garden anymore in my flat. obviously it's a tiny flat, but I did. Well, I lived in Walthamstow and then Leighton, and had little back gardens and had flowers.
Grew them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think they really kind of take it to the next level, just bunging a couple of edible flowers on there.
Definitely. And they're so beautiful. And even in savoury food, like in salads
and nasturtiums. Or like on the top of it. Yeah, nasturtiums are very easy to grow, actually. You can grow them just in your windowsill.
Yeah.
I did that last year. I didn't know what I grew. I just chopped these seeds in and they turned out to be nasturtiums. They just kept on growing. Yeah.
They go crazy.
They go wild. Yeah. They're fantastic. Great. So sticking to ingredients, I always like to ask my guests, what three ingredients do you believe one should always have in the kitchen, or do you always have in the kitchen to throw together a kind of quick dinner party dish? They don't need to be used in unison either. They can be used.
A dinner party dish. Sheesh. are we assuming that there's already salt and things like that?
It's up to you. I mean, there's no rules here.
Okay, I assume there's salt.
Okay, there's salt.
Just a really good loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got that, you can...
Make sandwiches.
Sandwiches or breadcrumbs or... If you've got... Yeah, bread is important. Good loaf of sourdough. Or soda bread, which is yummy. Some eggs.
Yeah.
I think eggs are really important. For to make a pudding or something like that. I was going to say chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate's a good one. These are all good, all key ingredients. Really I'm down with it. I'm trying to think what you can make with eggs, bread and chocolate. Maybe some sort of like bread and butter pudding or something. Or like eggy chocolate bread or something.
Are most guests able to whip something up with their three ingredients?
No, I'm just thinking. I just thought I'd throw it at you because I feel like you could handle it.
I feel like there's a recipe just with chocolate and eggs for a mousse, maybe.
Oh, yeah. But definitely.
So we could definitely have mousse.
And you could like do a salted mousse. You know, salted chocolate. You've got salt, so you know you
we could. My dad always talks about when he went on a French exchange, and one thing that they'd always have when they got home from school would be fresh baguette
with chocolate.
They put lumps of milk chocolate in it and put it in the oven.
Yes, that's so funny. We used to do that at school.
Did you?
Yeah, that's really funny. That's so funny. Last question. If you could invite three people to supper, anyone in the world, alive or dead, who would you have at your dinner table and why?
I found this really difficult.
We've got time.
I think maybe Alice Waters, because I think she's amazing. Not just with Shea. Well, I've never been to Shea Panis, but heard so many things about it. And I worked for a bit for Sky Gingell. And I know she's...
Did you? That's so cool. I love her.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And I learned lots from her. And I knew about Alice Waters, but she talked a lot about her as well. And I was quite inspired by her style of cooking and things. And everything she's doing with American school children and the Edible Schoolyard Project, I think is amazing. I kind of want to...
Do that.
Do something, yeah. Dream about something similar. Perhaps, and also she's very conscious, obviously, of the environment. So going off from that, maybe David Attenborough as well.
Cool. He would be great. I'm sure someone else has said David Attenborough, but they're definitely a good dinner party guest.
I went to Paris quite recently, and on the Eurostar, he was in our carriage.
Wow, did you say hello?
No, I think I'd want him because I regretted.
Yeah.
I think both of us sort of kicked ourselves.
It's always very awkward, though. You don't want to kind of, when someone's travelling or like, I don't know, sweating at the gym or something. It's not the time to
we
go
didn't
and...
Want to... But then somebody did go and speak to him, and I heard them mention sort of Suffolk and some people I knew in Suffolk.
So that's so funny.
Been the ideal opportunity to... And say, oh, I know that. But it didn't. But maybe.
Well, maybe he'll come for supper. Who knows?
Who knows?
He could come into the restaurant.
He might.
No idea.
We just heard his voice, and he's got such a distinct voice.
Yeah.
So I think David Attenborough, because he's wonderful. And I think he's also seems so calm and sort of soft and kind. And that would be very good for conversation already. But maybe also. We had a family friend who he died when I was about 18, also called David Wynne. He did, you know, the boy with the dolphin on Albert Bridge?
Yes.
He sculpted that.
Oh, wow. And did, that's so beautiful.
Yes.
Wow.
He did so many. He did Guy the Gorilla at at London Zoo.
Oh, cool. I know Boy and a Dolphin because I used to walk past that every day when I lived that way.
He did Guy the Gorilla, which is huge, mostly so that all the children could sort of
climb around.
Yeah. But I met him when I was sort of... My father knew him most sort of since school. And then introduced him to me and my sister and brother when we were much older. And we were sort of like kindred spirits. We got on so well, even though he was a lot older than me, but got on really well. And but he also hated food. So I think I'd sort of have him to slightly wind him up. When I told him I wanted to be a chef, he said to me, he sort of grunted and said, I wanted you to be an explorer. That's the kind of... I mean, he was sort
person.
Of... Yeah.
We could definitely get on with David Attenborough there,
exactly.
I think it'd be a good mix, that table.
I think so.
And what would you cook?
Maybe just loads of fresh pasta and...
A de tarte.
Fresh, yeah.
Some pink food there, maybe. Pink pasta. Food.
Yeah.
Delicious. Well, thank you so much, Hen, for coming.
That's
it was
right.
So fab. And for anybody who doesn't already kind of read... and follow along with you, where can people find you when you're not cooking in the kitchen at Stone East 3, where everyone should go?
I'm there most of the time.
Online.
I'm on Instagram, I'm just Henrietta Inman. Mm-hmm.
Easy to remember.
Yes. I don't really have time to do Twitter and things like that. And then I've got a website, I really need to update it. It's just henriettainman.com.
Perfect.
But then mostly, yeah, with Stony Street.
Stony Street's home right now.
Yeah.
And delicious. That's I can't home. Wait to come in and try that porridge.
Yes.
Six grain porridge. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you liked it, rate it, review it, talk about it, share it, and invite your friends round for supper. This has been a Studio 71 production. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.